everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Brendan Kraft, engineering and producing our show. Brendan, how are you today? Ready to rock and roll?
Always ready, Bill. Always ready.
Ready to saddle up and let's do this thing on this midweek edition, Wednesday, September 24th, 2025. We're in the Green Thing Zilkalo Village studio. The studio is part of the Bustos Media Center. We've got a bunch of studios here under one roof. We've got a bunch of radio stations, five radio stations operating in one location. This one's the News Talk Station, 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for live trusted news and talk. At the end of the year, we'll close out on 15 full years with our program, and that will put me 37 full years in Tucson radio and TV. And, of course, there was a lot of media even before I came to Tucson. Anyway, let's just say I didn't get off the bus yesterday. We have worldwide live listening of our program. In other words, when we're on during the noon hour, we take the live feed from KVOI.com, and we do that at BuckmasterShow.com, where we, at that location, you can find pretty much every show we've ever done since we launched the radio project in January of 2011. For our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The live line's open during the show. Anybody wants to join us, 520-790-2040. All right, let's welcome General Ted Maxwell, who leads the Southern Arizona Leadership Council as president and CEO. He's been in that role since 2018. And he put in nearly 34 years of military service, including 15 years in active duty Air Force and additional 19 in the Arizona Air National Guard, a graduate of the United States Air Force Academy. He retired as a two-star general in 2018. His final military position was right here in Tucson. He commanded the Arizona Air National Guard. In 2021, then-Governor Doug Ducey appointed the general to represent Pima County on the seven-member Arizona State Transportation Board. That's a really important board. Oversees the state road system. He's also on the Arizona Department of Transportation representative. They have a representative on the nine-member Regional Transportation Authority Board of Directors. And on Tuesday morning from 7 to 9, you can find him in this seat, on this side of the table, behind the microphone in the KVOI studios, where he is hosting the Morning Voice and doing a terrific job. And actually, he was here filling in, did an hour on Kathleen Wynne's show today, too. So you're pretty busy all the time, and thank you for making time for us.
Absolutely, Bill. I'm always here. I'd love to come on anytime you ask me to. And yeah, this studio's starting to get a warm place in my heart. I think it's because I'm spending so much time here too.
Pretty soon they'll have a cot for you over in the offices. Let's talk a little bit about Adelita Grijalva, an easy victory. Close, I believe it's about 70% voting in favor, and Mr. Daniel Gutierrez got about 30%. So, you know, huge margin. But when you look at how many registered voters there are in Congressional District Number 7, it's pretty darn big.
Well, we know that off presidential election cycle elections, the in the years that we've got a presidential candidate on, we get the largest voter turnout, you know, approaching 80+% pretty regularly. People are interested. I thing that scares me about this one is it's kind of an indication. Now, it's a special election. It's out of cycle. But remember, it was all by mail.
Right.
So all the voters should have received a ballot. The total count, like you said, 440,000. There's over 440,000 registered voters in CD7.
How many voted?
89,000.
Oh, my goodness.
20%.
Wow.
And that's scary to me in the respect that we're a representative form of government. We elect our elected officials to make the decisions that we hope are in the best interest for us personally, for our cities, our towns, our regions, our states, the nation, everything. And I think sometimes we forget that some of the most significant impact we can have is local.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is for a congressional seat. Adelita is going to go replace her father as the mm-hmm. representative for CD7, mm-hmm. A strong Democratic district.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people like to be part of the winning team. So yeah. if they don't think they're going to have cast the winning votes,
mm-hmm.
they sit it out. But yeah. in this case, even with the total number of voters that turned out was 60 for Adelita Grijalva was 61,000. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
roughly 14% of the yeah, voter population.
A lot of them just folks just sitting it out.
And of all the things on the Morning Voice on Tuesdays, it's about the civic engagement hour. It's about getting people involved. And I say it all the time, our most important right and responsibility in this country is to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And right now when we have turnouts like this, and now we've got the upcoming city elections,
right.
After the primaries, there's a lot of, a lot of folks just stop showing interest because, the city of Tucson, the Democrats are always in, right?
One of the wards already being decided, one of the races.
Ward 5, there was only a Democratic primary.
Right.
There was no Republican.
That's been decided.
No Libertarian, no Green Party candidate, no labels candidate, nothing. And we've gotten to the point where it's just kind of nonchalant. Okay, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
But every vote matters. And what I try to tell people is, even if you're voting for somebody that has little or no option to win, your vote itself makes a statement.
Mm-hmm.
If these races, now assumed to be Congresswoman Grijalva's race had been won by 10 or 15% mm-hmm. instead of 30,
mm-hmm.
she's going to mm-hmm. give pause. She's going to think, what's the message they're trying to send me?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so important for people to vote and vote responsibly, mm-hmm. aka informed.
Mm-hmm. And Kevin Dahl, take that race. He won by 19 votes, part of a recount. And that's a wake-up call. Kevin admits it. It was a wake-up call for him.
And there's a lot of people that's saying you already see some of Kevin's posturing
mm-hmm.
post-primary. Mm-hmm. It's already having an impact on him. And he, like you said, on mm-hmm. your show, he mm-hmm. said, it was a wake-up call. It put a scare.
He was very surprised.
I guarantee going into that primary, he's probably very confident.
He was.
He came out going, wow. And then it makes, the reason it's important for them to make the pause, because then they have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it me and mm-hmm. how I'm behaving? Mm-hmm. Is it my policy decisions? Mm-hmm. How am I going to figure that out? You're going to have to reach out to your constituents.
Right. Is it something about the way I'm running my ward
Correct.
Office? I mean, I've heard all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And so it gives pause to think about maybe we need to change things.
And you'd hope that
Sadie Shaw, if she was trying to, send a message, she did.
Oh, absolutely. And we hope our electives are responsive to us,
mm-hmm.
the citizenry that mm-hmm. vote them in.
Mm-hmm.
We get into the party dynamics and everybody's just at my side, your side, everything else, and we forget that the premise of a democratic republic where we elect representatives who, without necessarily reaching back to us, but already knowing what our mm-hmm. desires are supposed to represent us.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten so far into the tribalism that I think a lot of people have soured. And I think this turnout, 20%, is an indicator. It's not the bottom line because it's a special election. We'll know more in the city of Tucson elections. And then when we'll really see it will be next fall when we're in an off cycle, so not presidential election, but we're in a midterm election cycle. We'll see what the turnout's like.
You look at these numbers, registration, and I know there are a lot of, I think it's 35% are independents, but many times independents just don't get as fired up about a candidate. And talking about the city of Tucson registration, where it's 2-1, I believe, Democrats to Republicans. When Republicans see those numbers and someone thinking about contemplating a run, it just has to give them General Maxwell pause to say, do I really want to invest, one, money, two, time, and three, maybe nasty things being said about me, reputation changers.
Yeah. That's a fact of life in running for public office now. You are putting yourself out there.
You are.
And they're with it comes some great things and opportunities, but it really is about service, and you got to focus on that. It's about doing the right thing. It's about trying to represent the community, and you have to be committed. If you're running for office in the city of Tucson thinking that maybe someday I'll run for a state job position, well, you're not going to do a great job in the city of Tucson or the city or the town of Marana, or you need to really want to run for those offices you're going to take and have a reason to do it. You know, SLC has been a long-term supporter of the ward-only election concept. Mm-hmm. I'm a personal believer in it because I believe the people that are being represented should get to select who represents them. Mm-hmm. And when you do it citywide, that's not always the case. Mm-hmm. And it's actually not always been the case a lot more times than people even have a clue on. Mm-hmm. Shirley Scott, I love Shirley Scott. She was great. She was great for the military. She was a big supporter. Mm-hmm. She never, ever, ever won her ward.
Wow.
In any of her years of service.
Wow.
She won her primary, but when it was her against the rest of the city supported her.
Yeah.
So in that case, I look at it and go, well, Ward 4 wanted somebody else to support them. They didn't get it. That's a direct representative form of government.
And then there's the whole thing of charter cities. The city of Tucson is one of 29, I believe, charter
That's
cities.
Correct.
When you look at the rest, 28 are nonpartisan. Only one has partisan elections, and that's this city. And when people see an R or a D or a G or an L beside a name, it sends a message.
It not only sends a message, when Mayor Rothschild was mayor and it looked like the city was going to be forced by the courts to change their election system, forced by the legislature at first, the courts actually upheld the city. There was a whole council put together, 15 Democrats, and they were supposed to come up with the alternative. And the alternative would have been a ward-only election. They would have expanded the council by adding two at-large seats. But it would have been a ward-only election because you have to have that representative. There was a lot of people that were pushing to that council, hey, you need to also make them nonpartisan like everybody else.
Yes.
Which is a good idea. But the advisor that we'd brought in to help met them. He reshaped Los Angeles County's wards. He said, be careful. He goes, you'd be surprised how many people, when they open the ballot, the only thing they know is that little letter.
Right.
Because they don't, they aren't
informed
voters.
There's their brand.
Yeah, and they're not informed voters.
No, they're not.
They're not learning about the policies from the candidates. And it's hard. Some people are just hoping to make their way in this life. Times can be tough. Mm. Work is tough. Mm. You put a lot of time in. But I've always said our right is the right to vote. Our responsibility is to be an informed voter.
All right. Well, we try to inform people about Mona's Danish Bakery, General. Mona's is open Tuesday through Sunday at 7 o'clock. Doors open. And you'd be surprised. A lot of people are just waiting for the doors to open. They want their pastries just right out of the oven. And I've been one of those people on a couple of occasions. And my goodness, I remember a week or so ago, I was up there. I think it was a Sunday morning at 7. And Steve and his fine team of bakers, his assistant, had just brought out, it was just out of the oven, an almond croissant. It was like so large, it almost had its own zip code. And it was just, of course I had to have it. And, you know, that was eaten before I even got home. It was eaten in the car, Ted Maxwell.
Does somebody need to run for the representative of that croissant?
There you go. I don't know if there'd be a label next to the croissant. Maybe there would be a tea for tasty. All right, monasdanishbakery.com is their website, and check it out, the location. For those of us that live in the foothills, very convenient, but it's also, I think, almost a destination in itself. They're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. More with General Ted Maxwell. When we come back, we're talking about elections and Democrats and Republicans. Well, what's the current temperature of do voters trust their politicians? We've got some really new information about a survey that was done worldwide. Some very surprising things coming up with General Ted Maxwell right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane in North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our midweek edition, as we quickly close down the month of September. What do we got? About another week to go, and then we go into one of my favorite months of the year, October. Kind of a really love, always have loved the autumn, growing up in suburban Chicago along Lake Michigan. What a beautiful time of year in October with all the leaves turning. And back in the day, we used to rake the leaves and then we'd have a big, huge bonfire and that smell of burning leaves. But of course, we don't do that anymore. All that is prohibited, pollution regulations. But anyway, I can still smell that feeling, those autumn nights. In Wilmette, Illinois, city of trees, beautiful place. But Tucson's a beautiful place too. And we welcome back for segment number two, General Ted Maxwell. And he's got so much going on. And so we really are appreciative that he gives us a little bit of time because he's got his own radio show now on Tuesday on the Morning Voice from 7 to 9. He's got his work with the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. He's got his work with the Arizona Department of Transportation. He has his work with the Arizona Regional Transportation. That's the area, R9 member Regional Transportation Authority Board of Directors. So he's got a lot going, including he helped co-host the annual CEO Summit last Thursday. It was held in Phoenix. It's It's been held here in Tucson. Kind of goes back and forth, right, General?
It has. We've had had a couple down here, but the majority of the time it's up in Phoenix. I mean, most of the headquarters in the state of Arizona are in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. So you get a lot of the CEOs. So Greater Phoenix Leadership and Southern Arizona Leadership Council are really mirror images of each other, and mm-hmm. where we represent the 160 business leaders and CEOs that we have in our region, mm-hmm. And they've got about 150 CEOs in their region as well. Mm-hmm. They've got a ton of headquarters, but yeah. The conference, we get together 1 month a year. We do mm-hmm. a joint meeting, and we try to bring in some really dynamic and some
once a year meeting.
Try to bring in some pretty high level speakers, and
and your keynote great is who I want to focus on, talking about this guy that you brought in knows all about. He's been surveying how voters and how citizens feel about their election system around the world.
Yeah, for almost 30 years, the Edelman Trust Barometer has existed, and it does go throughout the world, and it also does deep dives into different countries. Interestingly enough, one of our members asked a question. I noticed Russia wasn't on there. Is there a reason?
They said
because of the war outbreak, they stopped polling there.
Okay.
They truly do outreach into all sort of different, mm-hmm. All the countries that they can without putting their mm-hmm. folks at risk, or if they're strife, they really probably don't mm-hmm. want to spend a lot of time talking to people about, hey, who do you trust? Who do you yeah. don't? Probably not a good thing.
Voters trust?
Well, it's interesting. They focused on four different entities, really businesses, NGOs, government, and the media. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of surprising. And business is a little weighted, and it actually has the higher scores throughout the world on trust. But that's because a lot of it is, you think about it, is they measure a lot of that business trust with employers.
Yeah. Do you want to work for somebody you do not trust?
Exactly.
The answer is most likely you're going to work for someone and believe you trust them.
So when you interview the employers, it's really still a trust level throughout the world up there above 70%.
Yeah.
And they break it down into folks who have no grievance with the company, some grievance mm-hmm. with the company, and then high grievance with the company. And they measure that, or high grievance with the government, the media. And, mm-hmm. and it there's no doubt those who have high grievance that are more worried, feels there's things being done wrong, guess mm-hmm. what? They give you less trust scores. Yeah. But in general, the businesses scored the highest, then the NGOs. And the one that varied a little bit was media and government, but they both tended to be
significantly
lower.
The way
lower.
People feel now about our media, which is really unfortunate, because growing up, of course, media used to be, if you were in the media, you were you were thought of as like the trust of a doctor or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's all.
And it's become, media's become a business.
Oh, yeah.
Back when I was young and Walter Cronkite was still on,
sure.
and you had they were the trusted source
That's
of
it.
Information.
Oh yeah.
Now with it being 24 hours a day, around the clock, 7
social
days a week,
media,
everything else, you're seeing, you have to pick a camp and then report the news and flavor that to the listener. Otherwise, the listener goes to another station.
Right. Advocacy,
if they don't like what they're not hearing.
The advocacy journalism. But
Bill, when we showed this, I was showing you a couple of those slides. The one that really caught your attention was when they were talking about the trust levels of government specifically, mm-hmm. and the U.S., the U.K., a lot of what we call the open, free democracies.
Germany,
were down under 50.
Japan, all scoring near the bottom of
yes.
all of these countries.
And Bill, what was the number one?
So listeners, who do you think is the most trusted? China. Is number one.
Now, when we think about it, the Chinese government is very clear in their rules, their policies, how they interact with their citizens, what the expectations are. So guess what? They trust them.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean they like them. The question wasn't, do you like your government?
Mm-hmm.
It's, do you trust them?
Mm-hmm.
Because they trust them because they're very clear. You do this, you step out of line, that's going to happen. You do so you saw the countries that scored higher. One mm-hmm. of our members asked a question. Do you think those folks in those countries, those dictatorships are giving you the honest answer?
Mm-hmm.
And it was pointed out, hey, it's still only a 77. 23% of them were able to say, nah, I really don't trust the government.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, the majority that do probably do trust him because they know where they are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Our problem in our society right now is with the diversity and the division. I call it the division in the 50, two parties. 50
split right
it
now.
Depends what you believe and who the elected officials are that are representing you.
And so thus we were very low.
We were very low.
I mean, so was the United Kingdom, which was last year was at the bottom. They're now still very close to the bottom. Japan is at the bottom this year. And Germany's very low. United States, very low. Just very surprising.
Well, and you look at Britain and you look at Germany, and with their form of government, they can call for elections. And they've been calling for elections more frequently lately. Same thing Canada. You know, we know.
I forgot to look where Canada ranked.
We're going to have our elections every 4 years.
Yeah.
And that's where that sits. So I'm gonna get to Canada here.
Okay, no problem. But it is very interesting to see that that's kind of like a trivia question. Would you ever dream that China would be the most trusted government? But they did come out in that survey number one.
So they actually didn't show Canada.
They don't show Canada
on this one. But to your point. Japan, South Korea, Germany, UK, Spain, US. I mean, this did not list all the countries they did here. They basically clumped all those that have more freer societies tended to score lower.
General, we're going to keep you over for segment number three, and then coming up segment number four, the man who covers Sports Illustrated, fine young guy, Troy Hutchison's going to be along, and the Wildcat football team has been surprising this year. They're 3-0. They got a big game.
Not surprising, Bill. We all knew they were going to be 3-0 right now. And
yeah,
now
that's
we're going to go out this
weekend and get
4-0. Come on now.
Iowa State. Anyway, we'll be back right after the break.
CBS News Brief. Two detainees were killed and a third wounded when a gunman opened fire today on an ICE facility in Dallas. CBS's Omar Villafranca is there.
We did see officers looking at the top of some buildings because they're saying it was basically a sniper on an elevated area shooting down into the area.
Authorities say the gunman killed himself. A bullet found at the scene was etched with the words anti-ICE. Ukrainian President Zelensky addressed the UN General Assembly today after an apparent pivot by President Trump the day before. CBS's Olivia Rinaldi.
Over the course of 9 months, President Trump and President Zelensky, who have met numerous times, had numerous phone calls, seen that they are in lockstep about what needs to be done to end this war. Now, that is not where President Trump was previously.
A drone from Yemen was fired into southern Israel today. More than 20 people were hurt. It's the second such incident in 2 days. On Wall Street, stocks are lower. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our midweek edition. You know, Green Things, they do such a great job. They've been in this community forever. Jan and Jack are the owners. I know them very well, and they're very hands-on. And this is a perfect time if you're looking at the garden and saying, you know, the plant, that plant didn't make it or it's not going to make it. Because let's face it, the summer rainy season was a disappointment. I will admit we've still got some rain coming in. It's kind of a late onset for our monsoon. But anyway, the replacement season is here at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. Pick up the plants that will give you some autumn color. The 13-acre site is also home to Zocalo Village, which has a fantastic selection of pottery. And it is Arizona's largest selection of pottery, pottery from all over the world. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. They're open every day when we do our telephone interviews. The Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. General Ted Maxwell sticks around for segment number three. Coming up in segment number four, we're going to talk Wildcat football with Troy Hutchison, who's doing a great job. He covers the Wildcats now for Sports Illustrated. That was a big promotion for Troy. We're really happy about that. He'll be checking in with us. Segment number four, General Maxwell is the Pima County Representative on the Department of Transportation Board. He's the ADOT Representative on the Regional Transportation Board of Directors, and his day job, I mean, he has all these other responsibilities, but his primary job is Southern Arizona Leadership Council President and CEO. So RTA next, the next 20-year program for regional transportation will go to the voters in March. It's time to start thinking about putting a committee together. I'm sure that that's happening right now, and thinking about what the messaging is going to be as voters think about, do they want to renew the regional transportation program, which expires next year. It's been a 20-year program. And many are saying it's going to be a very, very big lift, very difficult to push this not only to the five-yard line, General Maxwell, but to push it over the goal line. So what will the message be from your point of view? And you work so hard on making sure that voters would have a chance with this.
Well, the message is going to be pretty simple when it comes right down to it. We need to do a good job of laying out what RTO1 brought this region. We've spent so much time trying to come to a solution. There was a lot of bad mouthing of RTA1, you know, projects weren't done. We told the voters we hoped to collect $2.1 billion. We only collect 1.8. We had a shortfall. But that means they also paid less than the 2.1. They paid 1.8 over the 20 years in that sales tax collection. So there's some things that we've got to clean up on one. But here's the fact. Mm-hmm. You take a look around and you look at the projects that were done. You look mm-hmm. at the INA TI.
Right.
Is that an improvement? Has that made it easier for people to get around? Yes. You look at the Twin Peaks TI. Is that improved the ability to get on and off the freeway? up in the north side of town. Yes. You look at Sarita Road, significant improvement. At his state of the town last week, Tom Murphy showed a slide. Mm-hmm. It had on it Sarita Road before mm-hmm. RTA 1.
Right.
And then it had on it Sarita Road after mm-hmm. RTA 1. Mm-hmm. And he said, we could not have done this without the RTA. Mm-hmm. The economic development, the growth, the drivability of the road, mm-hmm. the expansion from two, mm-hmm. they had to have that. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Take a look at Speedway. Take a look at Broadway. Mm-hmm. There have been significant road improvements inside the city of Tucson, but it's just not the roads. Mm-hmm. You know, we collect $125 million annually through the current RTA mm-hmm. tax. If this does not pass July 1st, that stops. Mm-hmm. There's nearly $30 million throughout the county, not just in the city of Tucson, but throughout the county that supports our transit system. It mm-hmm. supports paratransit. It supports Dial-A-Ride. It supports all the routes we have throughout the city and the county to get people around, get them to where they need to go, to support the students trying to go to Pima Community College or to the university. It supports all that. That is all part of what RTA 1 brought. So what you're going to see, I think, over the next several months is going to be reminder of what RTA has done for us. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, it's going to be a spring election. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be voted on in November when the city election's there. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to probably see a lot out in the public, but you're going to see the start and drumbeat of what good RTA 1's done. And then after that, it's going to be about bringing together a diverse group of folks who care about different aspects of our transportation system. Mm-hmm. They all connect. Mm-hmm. The roads connect and provide access for people who are going to use vehicles and make it smooth and efficient. They also support the transit systems. If you don't have good roads, it's really difficult to have a good transit system.
Yeah.
So that all plays in. There is funding in there for arterial reconstruction. So mm-hmm. a lot of the roads right now that are our arterials that carry so many people, mm-hmm. either in vehicles of their own, on motorcycles, on bicycles, mm-hmm. in buses, there's money there to improve those inside the city of Tucson for their region. They'll get better. Mm-hmm. I live in Oro Valley. I work and play in Tucson mm-hmm. a lot. I play a lot in Oro Valley too, but I work and play in Tucson a lot. I come in there every day. Those roads are important to me. From a regional perspective, mm-hmm. we have to remind the voter that this is regional. And I'll tell you, from my position on this Arizona State Transportation Board,
yeah,
there's no state or federal funding coming. There is no additional funding coming to offset this.
So there's no state or fed funding coming to the rescue.
There is no knight in shining armor coming down from the state level. Mm-hmm. We have our funding over the last 20 plus years, or since the installation of the gas tax, mm-hmm. has decreased in total collection when adjusted for inflation. Mm-hmm. The percentage of road miles that the state of Arizona is responsible has increased by 54%. Mm-hmm. We are having a hard enough time, and that's why a focus of my time as chair of the State Transportation Board is going to be to talk about the future of infrastructure funding. We're having a hard enough time just touching and maintaining the roads we've got. There's parts of I-40, there's parts of State Route 89 that are just in dire need of repair. Mm-hmm. But the money isn't there, and the federal government's not coming to the savior with it, mm-mm. and neither is the state. So we have to take care of our region. 20 years ago, the voter said, we need to think of our transportation infrastructure system as a regional approach. Mm-hmm. That's all we're asking everybody to do. Mm-hmm. We're asking you to maintain the half-cent sales tax. Let's mm-hmm. keep it going forward. And I think when people sit back and go, oh, yeah, I forgot that road was done. Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't realize that was RTA. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that was, you know, from mm-hmm. our first fund. We mm-hmm. got to remind them of that. Mm-hmm. And we got to be able to show them, here's the projects that are going to get done. Here's the impact it's going to have on transit. And I think they're going to come along.
But you're saying some of the road that connects, that goes through Arizona, the old Route 66, in terrible condition, parts of that road.
Terrible. I-40.
I think near Holbrook or Winslow, some of that area is really bad.
It is. And there's only, we've got enough money, 71% of the current money in this Arizona State Transportation Plan's five-year plan goes to pavement preservation. 71%. Mm. Only 29% for modernization or expansion.
Do you worry about the bridges?
The bridges are the one thing that we do not let fail,
right?
Because we know the calamity of that death. So,
sure.
if you look at the state roads, and we every year we get a rating on them. The bridges are the ones that we try to keep everything in good. The roads, they can go into fair, they can go into poor, and if the money's not there, we can't get them repaired.
Mm-hmm. So, we're just about out of time. I don't really have time to get into Project Blue this time, but.
That one's been talked about
a lot. Yeah, it's been talked about a lot, but I think the bottom line is that Project Blue could be a Project Blue 1, there could be a Project Blue 2, maybe even 3 in our future.
Data centers are not going to go away. They are something that's needed in this region. It's needed for all of us who do computing on the cloud. It's needed for all of us that use cell phones. It is a fact of life. We have to figure out how to do them responsibly, and I think that's what you're seeing all the municipalities and honestly, even Beal is taking a look at how can we do this more responsibly.
Mm-hmm. All right, General, thank you very much. We'll look for your work here on this side of the mic with your program, The Morning Voice, on Tuesdays on KVOI from 7 to 9 in the morning. And we'll also have you on this side of the microphone when I do that October trip that I'm planning in a couple of weeks. She'll be here. Thank you very much, General.
You're more than welcome, Bill. I'm always willing to come on.
Thank you very much. All right, coming up next, we'll talk about Wildcat football with Troy Hutchison right after this.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster, our midweek edition here in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio, when we do our telephone interviews, and we're going to do one momentarily. The live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Troy Hutchison covers the Arizona Wildcat football team for Sports Illustrated, and he joins us now on the live line. Hey, Troy, how are you, sir?
Good, Bill. How are you doing today?
Doing real well. Thank you for asking. So the Wildcats at 3-0, somewhat of a surprise or not really, Troy?
Well, I think going into the year, if you're a regular Arizona fan or some national outlet, you probably had Arizona going in 2-1 after the non-conference with a loss to Kansas State. Now, I had Arizona going 3-0. Even if Kansas State was what they usually are. But after seeing how the K-State Wildcats played to open the year, where they had losses to Iowa State and Army in a close win against North Dakota, not even North Dakota State, but just North Dakota, you could tell they weren't the same team. So I thought Arizona did a great job of taking advantage of that. Their defense has played phenomenally. Their offense is a lot better from a season ago with Seth Dagey as the offensive coordinator. So not a surprise to me. I think they're 3-0 and a deserving 3-0, but now they have a tough test against Iowa State coming up on the road.
Yeah, going into Ames. Ames is one of the toughest places to play in the Big 12, maybe in the country, playing the Iowa State Cyclones. The place, it's going to be rocking and rolling. It's a sellout. It's on national television, on ESPN. What kind of a shot do the Cats have, Troy?
Yeah, you know, I think right now, if you looked at the betting lines, I believe they're around a 6.5 to 7.5 point underdog. That doesn't surprise me there. To me, football is all about two things: winning the battle in the trenches, offensively and defensively, and defense. And when you look at Arizona, they have one of the better defenses in this conference. Even though they haven't played an opponent to Iowa State's level, they're holding opponents to 8.7 points per game and have only allowed 2 touchdowns this year. So defense travels. You can play defense in the cold, rain, sleet, or snow. I like Arizona to cover this game, but I do think Iowa State barely pulls it out. I think it's going to be a very close game where it's going to be a one-possession game, maybe even a field goal difference.
And then Arizona comes back with, this is one of the most favorable schedules I can recall in many years for Arizona football as far as home schedule.
Yeah, you know, they come back, and Oklahoma State has been really one of the pillars of the Big 12 over the last 20-plus years with Mike Gundy there at the helm. But over the last year and a half, the Cowboys aren't the same team. Mike Gundy was just let go after 21 years of being the Cowboys head coach. The last 12 games, they've lost 11 of them. Just a real downward swing for the Cowboys, and that's a noon kickoff. So I expect Arizona to be a double-digit point favorite in that, maybe even a 13.5 point favorite. It's a noon afternoon, well, not afternoon, but a noon kickoff for Arizona fans. So there should be no excuses in terms of the game being too late to get out to the stadium.
Well, then how many away games do we actually have after Iowa State?
So after Iowa State, Arizona has still Colorado on the road. They have Houston on the road. I'm missing one here, and ASU on the road. I know I'm missing one there somewhere. I think so. Cincinnati as the other road team.
That could be a challenge.
Realistically, though, out of the schedule, you play 8 games in the state of Arizona and really 4 true road games, with that Arizona State game really being like a state fair where even in Tucson, the stadium's pretty split, 50-50, and it's 50-50 up there. So I would say about 3 true road games left after Iowa State.
Has ASU been a disappointment so far, Troy Hutchison?
I don't think they've been a disappointment. I just think it's a reality of their situation. Cam Scadaboo was a phenomenal back last season for the Sun Devils, and now he's moved on to the NFL, and that's really hard to replace. Yes, they had a lot of talent coming back. They have a star receiver. They have a quarterback that the nation seems to be high on. They have him as a top 10 pick in the upcoming NFL draft. I'm not in love with Sam Levitt. I think he's a very good college quarterback, but I think he's just what he is. I don't think he's anything spectacular. And I think you're seeing a situation of what you saw last year until they got better near the end of the season, that he can't carry an offense. And you're seeing offensive struggles. You don't have that go-to weapon that you can give the ball to 20, 30, 40 times in a game. And you know what? I think the expectations were a 10-plus win season in Tempe, but I think realistically you're looking between anywhere from a 7-9 win season, given their slate of conference games, because they have TCU, Texas Tech, Utah. They have the upper echelon of the conference still to play.
Arizona is a very entertaining football team, and I think this is going to be a bowl team. It'd be really unusual if they don't win 6 games.
Yeah, no, I think this is going to be a bowl team. I have them coming in on the year at 7-5. Right now they're on track for that. Again, I have the Kansas State win there. But if they win this weekend, if they beat Iowa State this weekend, over the next several games, they're going to be favored. They could really run the table and find themselves in a Big 12 title game, given that, you know, they don't play TCU, they don't play Texas Tech, they don't play Utah. So they don't play the top 3 teams in this conference. They still have Kansas on the schedule and ASU on the schedule, but it's a favorable schedule. So if they win this one and they're sitting at the end of the year at 9-3, that could be enough to get into a conference championship game.
We're speaking with Troy Hutchison, who covers Arizona Wildcat football for Sports Illustrated. What surprised you about this team? It seems to really click and seems to be a real camaraderie. They've really come together around Coach Brennan, haven't they?
Yeah, you know, I think the surprise for me is defensively. I knew they were going to be better defensively, but I questioned how they were going to get to the quarterback and how they were going to create chaos in the backfield. The edge rushing position was kind of thin going into the year with Trey Smith and not much behind him. But Danny Gonzalez has done a great job of scheming and coming up with different stunts and techniques in his defense. One of the better defense coordinators in the country. You saw him have success at ASU, at San Diego State before taking the head coaching job at New Mexico. And he's just a guy that loves to switch stuff up, give the quarterback different looks, keeps offenses off balance. And right now they lead the country in takeaways. They're top 20 in sacks. They're top 5 in points per game at 8.7 points per game. So they're playing high-level football. Again, they haven't played anybody yet, but you can tell a difference between a defense that hasn't played anybody and they're just getting by without giving up points, and a defense that is dominating. Because you take away the 75-yard touchdown to open up the second half against Kansas State and a blocked punt, and this defense really hasn't given up very much. Realistically, in that Kansas State game, 10 of those 17 points was not the defense's fault. They got put in field goal range. They gave up a field goal because of a muff punt, and they had the block punt, which put them on the 5-yard line. They gave up a touchdown there. So realistically, this defense is playing even better than that 8.7 points per game that they've allowed.
What's it going to take to put fans back in the seats? Beating Iowa State would probably go a long way, wouldn't it?
It'll go a long way, but not similar to league basketball, because basketball, they do fill the stadium. I don't know what it will take to put fans in the stands, because you saw Rich Rod average 7-8 wins. That wasn't enough. You saw Jed Fish get them to 10-3, and they started filling the stands later in the year. And to be honest, this fan base really hasn't filled that stadium since the days of Mike Stoops, when they had Nick Foles and Willie Tuitama, and they were building up the program. So I don't know if it's just the time of age we live in terms of the fandom, but the passion for West Coast football just doesn't seem to be there like it used to be.
All right, Troy Hutchison, always a pleasure. Thank you very much, Troy. I'm glad you're doing well with Sports Illustrated. All the best to you and your family. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Have a good day.
Thanks a lot. Troy Hutchison, who covers University of Arizona Wildcat sports for Sports Illustrated. Really happy things are going so well for that fine young man. Things will go well for you when you take the 3-hour drive over to Silver City. It's a pretty easy drive. You hit I-10 at Lordsburg exit, first exit, maybe second exit. I think there may be an exit before Lordsburg. But anyway, it's right there as you cross the New Mexico border. take a left up the hill to Silver City, and then you will have a terrific time visiting a great part of the Land of Enchantment. So much to do, including the Gila National Wilderness and the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. So check it out by visiting their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Clear, cool nights and warm days. Perfect autumn weather in the Land of Enchantment. All right, that's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. My thanks to Brendan on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster, with pretty much the same wish I give all of you every day as I sign off, and I hope wishing everybody well.